Hey, have you ever wondered about the difference between fiduciary and suitability? It's a question we get commonly. We're going to break it down for you on Consider This Program this week and provide two checklists for those of you who want them so that you can understand the duties of a fiduciary.
Joseph Clark is a certified financial planner and the managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group, an SEC-registered investment advisory service. This material is being provided for informational or educational purposes only and does not take into account the investment objectives or financial situation of any client or prospective client. Those seeking information regarding their particular investment needs should contact us or another financial professional. The opinions expressed were current at the date of taping but are subject to change without notice due to tax law changes or market, political, and economic conditions.
There are many different types of cooks, many different types of chefs, many different types of realtors, and believe it or not, there's many different types of financial, let's just say, quote-unquote, professionals. Welcome to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
Happy to have you along. Angie has run across some things and started asking me some questions.
Yeah, I guess when you talk about a financial advisor, I didn't really realize there are different types of financial advisors.
There are. Before you got on the show a few years ago,
okay,
my daughter Kendra was going to Anderson University, and one of her friends, quote-unquote friends, had an internship at an insurance company in Anderson and boldly told my daughter that he did the same thing her daddy did, which Kendra took a very strong dislike to. And called me up, and it took 5 minutes before I could calm her down to find, recognize, and to get her to realize there is no such thing as a license for a financial advisor. You can call yourself a financial advisor. Now, you can go and get licenses to sell insurance products.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and get licenses to sell securities. You can do what I did and become a certified financial planner by getting education that allows you to take a board exam, kind of like going to law school and then taking the law exam.
Right.
Right. I went through 3 years of education and in learning financial planning and then took a board exam to be a certified financial planner. So you can't say you're a certified financial planner without that, but you can say you're a financial advisor. You can say you're a wealth manager. You can say there is no license. You can hang out a shingle. And it's sad. It's deceptive. It shouldn't be right. But that's really what it is. And so you've got a group of people that are out there that are either in the insurance industry. They're insurance agents. The ones who sell property and casualty, car insurance, homeowners insurance, rarely will tell you that they're wealth advisors, though they will tell you that they have securities that they can sell, especially
mm-hmm.
annuities. And not all of them, but some. There are people that are in brokerage firms that sell annuities and mutual funds. They've got a lesser license than somebody who sells individual stocks and exchange-traded funds. But again, that's a securities license. Then there are people like us who have our Series 65 or 66 who are registered investment advisors. And if you want a fiduciary, that's really what you have to look for is that series that they have to have the Series 665 or be allowed to do it without that license like I am because I've done this for so long.
So the term fiduciary is basically just a standard of care.
Correct.
Okay.
There's no license in our industry that makes you a fiduciary. It's how you behave. And when you agree to do it, how you're regulated. So we are considered a hybrid registered investment advisor. So we've got all the securities licenses that you can use to sell things. We just choose not to. We have them because people listen to the radio and they have an annuity contract that they bought or something out there where there was a product involved when they weren't working with the fiduciary. And when they transfer that over to us for us to be able to help, we have to have the licenses to be able to put our name on it. We do not sell any new ones or any new products. We just use it to manage. But we're a hybrid. So we're under what's called FINRA with a broker-dealer affiliate. And we're registered investment advisors where all of our revenue comes from.
So if some of us, like the Financial Enhancement Group, are fiduciaries, what are the other kind that sell products, make commissions? So, what standard of care do they?
So let's be clear. Everybody has a fiduciary. Now, don't wreck your car because people just got mad at me. Everybody has a fiduciary, but the probability is that it's you listening to the show, that are acting as your own fiduciary. At the end of the day, you have to make what you believe is the best decision for your money. Or you can hire people like the Financial Enhancement Group, who are registered investment advisors, and we are required to be fiduciaries. And the easiest way I know how to explain that is we have to treat your money as if it were our money and we were in the same situation, right? So when the SEC comes in, they don't ask if we did something under what was called suitability, where they gave me this box of products that I could sell you, right? And I could create these wonderful presentations. But at the end of the day, Angie, you had to act as your own fiduciary and say, yes, I want that annuity, and yes, I want that mutual fund. And you can say, I like that recommendation that I gave and agree to do it and sign your name. And the person on the other side of the table may very well be doing what they think is in your best interest. I mean, they may, I don't think everybody in the suitability world is evil. I think there clearly are some. I mean, I really do when I see some of the things that people have bought or sold, either the person doing the selling is awful naive or is really not interested in their best interest. But that certainly doesn't mean that they're all that way. The problem is, and think about it, we have 1,000 families we have to take care of. Something bad happens in the market. If I'm under suitability, if your accounts are under suitability, I've got to call 1,000 families, right? How long is it going to take to get that done? And who do I start with first? The smaller accounts from our friends at church or the bigger accounts that I have in the business world? It's just not right. So as a registered investment advisor acting as a fiduciary, I treat your account as I would my account if we were in the same situation. And that really is that fiduciary calling that is out there in what you ought to look for. And nationwide, 90% of people have somebody that are under their accounts are under suitability. Mm-hmm. In Indiana, it's 92%. So there's only 8% of us that function under the fiduciary concept in Indiana. And you have to ask that question specifically. And I believe we have a checklist for this. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what your responsibilities are as a fiduciary, there's two checklists we can give you. One is your fiduciary duties, right? So you know what, if you're doing this on your own, you know what job you have. And then the second one, I think I call that fiduciary responsibilities. The second one is if I was hiring an advisor, if I, for some reason, I didn't like the Financial Enhancement Group, didn't like this show, didn't like Angie, didn't like Joe. If there was something out there, then these are the questions that you ought to ask an advisor. I've gone through and said, this is what I would ask if I was hiring somebody else to take care of my money. So we have those two checklists. Happy to send them along.
For someone like me who's a non-advisor, it seems almost ridiculous that you could manage or have anything to do with anyone's retirement, their life savings, and not be a fiduciary.
I totally get it. I mean,
wasn't there some kind of... Were at one point, were we going to head that way?
Under the Obama administration, that was one of the laws that was passed that we had to go into fiduciary world, dealing with, not with retail accounts, but with IRAs and 401ks. The number of annuity sales plummeted. Companies freaked out. The new administration, the Trump administration, not big fans of regulation and rules, mm-hmm. wanted to put it back in your hands and say, Angie, you get to make your decision on where you want to go, but we're not going to tell an industry how they have to behave. And all of a sudden, guess what? The annuity sales, some of these products that I don't think should be allowed to be written are suddenly going off the shelves again because people are selling them that don't necessarily understand the whole story.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that I would do today. You know, I use the expression in one of my talks, chocolate cake or broccoli. You know, if I'm paying attention to the long-term lifespan of Joe, then I'm going to eat more broccoli than chocolate cake. It's okay to have a little bit of cake every now and then, right? Mm-hmm. But not every day. But if I'm only thinking about today, I'm going to take chocolate cake over broccoli any single day, or at least most days. And I'm not even a sweet eater, right?
Well, if you are a fiduciary, though, how is it even monitored? I mean, what happens if you don't put their interests?
We would lose our licenses and get sued and be opened up to all sorts of problems. But that's FINRA coming in if you sell stuff saying, did they make the right sales pitch, not did they act in your best interest. The new rules under the 401k say these don't even have to be the cheapest products. They don't even have to be, the cheapest. How in the world can that fall into best interest? Hey, you're listening to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark. We would like to invite you to call in, talk to Angie, 800-928-4001, and find out about a Next Steps meeting. See if you qualify. Sit down, you can talk with one of our advisors, 800-928-4001.